in advance. You're going to read out of Luke chapter 2. You pretty much can do it blindfolded. All right? So you'll read first, Clay second, Gina, and then Barbara. Okay? And you guys are going to finish up at verse 24. Okay? But I'll tell you which ones you're reading. All right? All right. God is good. Father, we just love you. We give you praise and thank you for your mercy and your goodness and your faithfulness. Thank you, Lord God, that everybody, the entire world stops this week. The entire world stops this week to recognize the Savior. Doesn't matter whether they believe in Jesus or not. It doesn't matter whether they're a Christian or not. The entire world stops because it's Christmas. Because it's time to buy presents, or it's time to have a tree, or it's because it's time to take a vacation. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that the entire world, because of the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ into the earth, the entrance of Jesus, that the entire world stops and has to pay attention. So we just give you glory and we give you praise. Thank you for our testimony. Thank you for the testimony that we are, that when somebody comes and asks, well, why are we having this Christmas thing? Well, I'm just getting so worn out and just getting so tired. I've spent all my money. But we have the opportunity to stop. Maybe you spent all your money and that's your opportunity to stop and wonder why in the world we're doing all this. It's because Jesus Christ is coming to the world. And He came into the world. He didn't just come for one group of people. Even though that group of people thinks they came just for Him. And then they didn't believe in Him. But Father, we thank You that You came for the entire world. We give You glory and thanks as we look at that today. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Over in Genesis chapter 3. Well, first I'll start out with John chapter 3. You can say it with me. For God so loved the world. Who'd He love? Who'd He love? Oh, He loved the world. He didn't love the Jew. He didn't so love the Jews. He loved the world. This is Jesus telling this to Nicodemus. For God so loved. And Nicodemus was a big shot, you know, in the Jewish church. The Jewish synagogue and the Jewish religion. So He's talking to Nicodemus in the dead of night. He's talking to Nicodemus. And Nicodemus no doubt thought that he misspoke, because he probably thought, for God so loved the Jews. No, but God, that's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, God so loved the world. So He just bypassed Nicodemus altogether. He so loved me, because I'm not a Jew. I'm not Jewish, at least not that I know of. You know, it could be. Maybe I got the nose for it. I don't know. But for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever, well, here's another open invitation. He loved the world that whoever, anybody, whosoever believeth on Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Let's look over at Genesis chapter 3, verse 15. And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and it shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Now who is that? That is God talking to the serpent after the episode in the garden. Of course, the woman says, you know, there's that serpent guy. He messed me up. He was a snake oil salesman. And he tried to get me to believe in something. Tried to get me to believe that his idea was a good idea. And he deceived me. And God told the serpent, He said, I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your seed and her seed, and it shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. Well, there's the first messianic promise right there. Do you know that? It's already started back in Genesis. The promise started back in Genesis. Just right after the injury, right after the problem began, God already has a solution. God already had a plan in place for you. He was already looking for you. He's already made a provision for you. Amen. He's not stopping. He didn't have to go off and cogitate for about 1,000 years to figure out a plan to rescue you. He immediately, already from the foundation of the world, would read that Jesus Christ was what? Slain before the foundation of the world. Because God knew that there would be a need of a Savior. Amen. Let's look over to Isaiah chapter 7. I'll do it. You probably don't have to do it. That's a loud Bible. Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14. And here's how he's going to do it. The Lord himself shall give you a sign. The Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. So the Lord himself has already begun to set his plan in place, and he gives it to the prophets, and he begins to tell them how to begin to integrate this into their message, is that, behold, a virgin is going to bear a son. Here's something you can watch for. Here's something you could look for. Here's something I'm going to do. And it's something that's absolutely impossible to do. Behold, a virgin shall bear a son. Everybody knows that's not going to happen. Well, it's just, you know, that'd be like somebody raising from the dead. That's not going to happen. But behold, a virgin shall bear a son and shall call his name. Who is he? And shall call his name Emmanuel. He's going to call his name God with us. So God, all of a sudden, see in these few words, we find that God is already, the plan that he has is so that he's going to be with me. He's already promised that he's going to be with me. An impossible thing is going to happen, and then God is going to be with me. He's going to come to me. He's going to come himself. God said this. The Lord himself said, behold, a virgin will bear a son, and his name shall be called God with us. Over in chapter 9 of the same book, Isaiah, verse 6. And here is the prophecy that the child arrives. For unto us a child is born, and unto us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and the Prince of Peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. Upon the throne of David and upon his kingdom, to order it and to establish it with judgment and with justice, from now until forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will perform this. The zeal of the Lord of hosts. What is that? What's zeal? Sounds like, woohoo! Zeal sounds like something exciting, doesn't it? Mm-hmm. Amen. God, how many know God's excited about this? Yeah. God is excited about this. This is his plan, and he has already put it in place, and he's determined that what he began, he's going to finish. The Lord of hosts, the Lord God himself, who saw that I was in trouble, made a way for me. Amen? He made a way for me. Well, many of you, yeah. Well, I got Jesus. Jesus is born. He's born again in me. He says, of the increase of his government and of peace, there shall be no end. So whether that government is in charge right now, whether Donald Trump is the electee or that other guy is the electee, the government of God is in place already. Do you know where it's in place? It's in place on the inside of me. I'm at peace. And of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end. So you can confidently say, the Lord is my help. Amen? You see, he's on the inside of me. His government and his peace already reign on the inside of me. Because this is a prophecy of something that has already taken place. Is that Jesus Christ, born of a virgin, died, was raised again, and through faith in his name, I received the government of God I'm not afraid of what I might do. Amen? Because I've got the government of God on the inside of me. What if I mess up? Oh, I've got forgiveness. He's forgiving me. And He's manifesting Himself in me. And He's working in me that which is well-pleasing in His sight. Are you happy? Are you rejoicing about that? Or are you afraid you might mess up somehow? You afraid you might not get there? No, God's already taken care of that. Whatever that maybe was, God took care of that. Amen? Say, I'm forgiven. Say it, I'm forgiven. From now until Jesus comes. Hallelujah. Amen. This is so good. This is good news. Say, I want you to read that again. Of the increase, the increase of His government and peace. Well, you're looking at the world, you're looking at, you know, all kinds of countries and things and wondering when the government of God's going to show up. That's what those guys that's one of the reasons they went ahead and let Him get killed, you know, when Jesus was here. He didn't take over the way He should have. Well, get rid of the guy. You know, that's what we do to people, right? You know, if people don't follow expectations, we pretty much just get rid of them. Let's get somebody who will. But Jesus fulfilled God's expectation. He might not have fulfilled yours. He might not have fulfilled the Jews' expectations. You know, that's why Judas was angry. That's why Judas turned Him over. He wasn't doing the right job. He was going to force His hand. He was going to make Him be king. You know, if you come and get Him with soldiers, certainly He'll, to finish His work, to finish His plan, He'll rise up. But no, Peter cuts a guy's ear off, and Jesus puts the ear back on and blesses the guy and puts His hands behind his back and goes to the cross. Amen. Because that wasn't God's plan. God's plan wasn't to fulfill my vision. God's plan was to fulfill His own vision. That the increase of His government and peace, there will be no end. He's manifesting His government on the inside of you today. Amen? He's getting rid of all of your flesh right here. We talk about it here in our seven chairs up here. Is that through faith, chair four, and then through discipleship, chair five. Is you're being transformed and changed, and your government's going away, but God's government is being manifest. In Galatians, it talks about the whole world is waiting for the manifestation of the sons of God. That's happening. That's you. That's right. Every single day, you're looking for a big promotion. You're looking for some big manifestation. He says in Isaiah 28, He says, "The word of the Lord was unto me, line upon line. Precept upon precept. Very slow, very slow." It's not exactly what it says, but that's what it means. Somehow God is very slow. Or maybe you're slow. But He'll accommodate you. He's going to work with you. He's not disappointed. How many know God's not disappointed in you? Yes. Oh, yes, I'm sure He is. He's quite disappointed. No, you're disappointed. You know, you're busy looking at your own mirror. You're not looking at the Word of God. You're not looking at the promise of God. You're looking at your own inability. Which God does want you to see that, but He wants you to rest in that. He wants you to rest in the fact that you're inadequate. And rest in the fact that He is wholly adequate to manifest Himself on the inside of you. Of the increase of His government and of peace there shall be no end. And upon the throne of David and upon His kingdom, to order it, to establish it with judgment and with justice from now until forever. And the zeal of the Lord of hosts. He doesn't need anybody to encourage Him, amen? God doesn't need anybody to build Him up, strengthen Him, or make him excited. He's not depressed today. How many know God is not depressed? Oh man, I wish they would have pulled it off. Had everything in place. Everything was going great. Jesus did what He was supposed to do, and then I gave it to the folks. And the folks just let me down. No, God didn't let... God's not let down. He is, in fact, fully encouraged. Amen? Amen? Yes. Hallelujah. You know, you need to be excited that God's excited. I think that'll take care of your problem. Yeah. If you're going to be excited that God's excited, every morning you wake up, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Right. Yeah. Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Amen. Now let's look over at Luke chapter 2. And Teresa, Are you ready? Read 1 through 7. 1 through 7. Clay, you're going to read 8 through 14. Oh, I want to give you a microphone. She's going to do it. She's going to do it right.
I can do it.
Okay. I'll just put it right there. There
okay.
we go. Yeah, let me turn that on. There we go.
And it came to pass in those days that there went out a decree from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be taxed. And this taxing was first made when Cyrenius was governor of Syria. And all went to be taxed, everyone into his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, out of the city of Nazareth, into Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be taxed with Mary, his espoused wife, being great with child. And so it was that while they were there, the days were accomplished that she should be delivered. And she brought forth her firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling clothes, and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
And there were in the same country shepherds abiding in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And lo, the angel of the Lord came upon them, and the glory of the Lord shone round about them, and they were sore afraid. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For to you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord. And this shall be a sign to you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes, lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on the earth peace, goodwill toward men."
And it came to pass, as the angels were gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds said one to another, "Let us now go even to Bethlehem and see this thing which has come to pass, which the Lord has made known to us." And they came with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the babe lying in a manger. And when they had seen it, they made known abroad and saying, which was told them concerning this child. And all they that heard it wondered at these things which were told them by the shepherds. But Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. And the shepherds returned glorifying and praising God for all the things that they had heard and seen as it was told to them.
And when 8 days were accomplished for the circumcising of the child, his name was called Jesus, which was so named of the angel before he was crucified, he was conceived in the womb. And when the days of her purification according to the law of Moses were accomplished, they brought him to Jerusalem to present him to the Lord. As it is written in the law of the Lord, every male that opens the womb shall be called holy to the Lord, and to offer a sacrifice according to that which is said in the law of the Lord, a pair of turtle doves or two young pigeons.
And then picking up again at verse 25. Here they are in the temple, having brought Jesus as according to the traditions and according to the law. And behold, there was a man in Jerusalem whose name was Simeon. And the same man was just and devout, waiting for the consolation of Israel. Waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Ghost was upon him. And it was revealed to him by the Holy Ghost that he should not see death before he had seen the Lord's Christ. And he came by the Spirit into the temple. And when the parents brought in the child Jesus for to do for him after the custom of the law, then took he up in his arms. Simeon took Jesus up in his arms. Came just getting, kind of grabbed him. Grabbed the little baby, 8 days old. And blessed God and said, Lord, now let your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people. A light to lighten the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. And Joseph and his mother marveled at those things which were spoken of him. And Simeon blessed them and said to Mary his mother, Behold, this child is set for the falling, for the fall and rising again of many in Israel, and for a sign which shall be spoken against. Yea, a sword shall pierce through your own soul also, that the thoughts of many hearts may be revealed. How powerful that a man had been waiting his entire life for the consolation of Israel, for the peace of Israel. You know, we talk about the, you know, praying for the peace of Jerusalem. Well, we talk about that. I've prayed that before. Is that it's the coming of the Lord Jesus. That's the peace of Jerusalem. Is the coming of the Lord Jesus. Amen. That's the peace of Israel. Israel will see no peace until Jesus comes. But Simeon, here, so powerful that he has come into the temple and he's waiting. He didn't just hear that these people were coming. He was already there on the day that Joseph and Mary were coming in. What the, did he hear about the birth in the newspaper? Let's see, it's 8 days. Let's see, 8 days they're scheduled to be down at the temple. I think I'll go on down there. No, what did the scripture say? And he came by the Spirit into the temple. When the parents brought in the child Jesus to do for him after the custom of the law, then Simeon took him up, verse 28, took him up in his arms, and he blessed God and said, Now I can go. Now I can depart in peace. Apparently he's an old man. Yeah, it doesn't say he was an old man, but apparently he's an old man. Must have white hair. Must have lost a few inches in height. You know, he's fixing to take off. He's fixing to go, and he's beginning to get a little nervous because God had promised him. He said, "I'm gonna let you see this. I'm gonna let you see this Savior. I'm gonna let you see the consolation of Israel." Lord, let now your servant depart in peace, according to your word. For mine eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all people. Now, verse 32. A light to lighten the Gentiles. A light to lighten the Gentiles. Well, where did that come from? Did he get that? Did he just make that up? No. In fact, there's a couple of verses of Scripture I'll show you that God had already talked about this. You know, we looked at verse 15 in chapter 3 of Genesis. It's before the Jews ever were created as a people. You know, Abraham was an idol worshiper. Right? Yeah. Abraham wasn't king of the Jews or something. Abraham, God, when God came and found Abraham, he was busy worshiping idols. He worked for another company. He worked for the sin god, the god named Sin. He worked for him. And he was a big shot. He was a big shot in the sin religion. You know, it's just the name of the guy. It wasn't really sin like you know, like we know, but it was just the same. So he was busy working hard, making a living, working for the other god. And God came by and said, you seem to be a hard worker. And he said, I think I could use you. So he came by and said, hey, you know, if you'll believe me, I'll make you the father of many nations. Because, number one, he had no kids and really had no prospects because he was already like 75 and Sarah had not born any children yet. So he came by And how many know God created for himself a people?
Yes.
Amen. There was no people. There was no people. The scripture says, you made us a people who were no people. See, he didn't come get, even though there's the Hebrews, but God created the Hebrew people. He used the Hebrew people to create a people for himself. Amen. And so he brought Abraham in. And he brought Abraham in and created him, but he created a line which was going to bring in the Savior. And in the fullness of time, Jesus was born of a virgin. In the fullness of time, Jesus was born of a virgin. Now I want to read from you out of Isaiah. God's plan. You know, the Jews liked to think that they were God's people. But God always had a plan to take his love and his grace and his mercy to the entire world. He just had to start somewhere. So he started with Abraham, and he started with the Jews. And then they got in trouble and went down in Egypt. God took care of them, used Joseph to take care of them. And then things kind of went south in Egypt, and they became slaves. God sent Moses. God created a nation of them. After there was enough of them to create a nation out of, he kind of held them in one spot. They built up enough folks to create a nation, and then God took them out in the wilderness where they had to depend on God. And then he gave them a law, and he gave them a constitution, created a nation. And then they decided they wanted to make their own leaders, so they decided on kings. Say, hey, let's get kings. Kings seem to be the way of things now. People like kings. You know, my king's bigger than your king. My king's better than your king. My king's got more money than your king. And, you know, so they didn't mind being taxed to death. You know, so you get a bunch of kings and fighting each other. They send you off to battle and kill your kids. But that's okay because it's good to have kings. You know, if you got God, you don't need a king. Amen?
Yeah.
Praise the Lord. You don't need to pay taxes. Amen. Praise the Lord. Glory to God. You know, God had a good idea after all, didn't he?
Yeah.
I don't think you really want a king. No, we do. We really do want one. We think that'd be wonderful. So how many other of your ideas are great? Amen. Y'all got any good ideas? You want to try that again? You know, God had a good idea. Praise the Lord. In Isaiah chapter 42, verse 6, listen to what God says. Here's his plan. Here's his sneaky plan. I am the Lord. I have called you in righteousness. I will take you by the hand, and I will keep you, and I will give you as a covenant of the people for a light of the Gentiles. He's going to give you as a light for the Gentiles. He's talking about the Hebrew people. They're talking about the Jews. He's going to give them for a light to the Gentiles. Now, wait a minute. We don't like those people. We don't like those Gentiles. They're not us. Praise the Lord. You know, that's a lot of churches, too. You know, they don't like a lot of people to come in, you know, because they smell bad or they look bad or they don't look like they're dressed for church. Amen? We kind of lightened up on that, you know. We bought this building, you know, so we decided, you know, this would be a good building for all kinds of people to show up, you know. Except now the rich folks are following us, you know. This neighborhood is coming back, you know. It's, as they say, you know, it's all the ritzy hip places are going in down there on Magnolia. I remember when there were churches, old churches down on Magnolia that were filled with birds and animals and like little barns. You know, we would go down there and we'd, you know, pray that we'd get one of those big old buildings down there, you know. It was better than this one at the time. So it was a pretty rough neighborhood there for a while. But now God's you know, blessing us. Amen. I want to read out of Isaiah chapter 49. Sorry. Lost my chapter. It's still in here. I wish I was going to read one verse out of this, but it's too much good. Listen, O isles, islands. See, the islands refer to distant lands outside of Israel, outside of the land of the Jewish people. So who are those? Who are the isles? They're the Gentiles. It's the nations. Now here's Isaiah. Listen, O isles, O islands, O distant nations, listen to me and hearken, you people from far. The Lord has called me from the womb. From the bowels of my mother has He made mention of my name. Who's that sound like? It could be the prophet. Or it could be the virgin who shall bear a son. It could be her son. Now listen to this. And He has made my mouth like a sharp sword. Oh, hey, wait a minute. That sounds familiar. In the shadow of His hand has He hid me and made me a polished shaft. In His quiver He has hid me. And said to me, you are my servant, O Israel, in whom I will be glorified. Then said I have labored in vain. I have spent my strength for nothing and in vain. Yet surely my judgment is with the Lord and my work with my God. And now, says the Lord that formed me in the womb to be His servant, to bring Jacob again to Him. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. How many remember Jesus said, Israel, I wanted to gather you, but you would not. You were like a mother hen. I wanted to gather you as a mother hen gathers her chicks, but you would not. Though Israel be not gathered, yet shall I be glorious in the eyes of the Lord, and my God shall be my strength. And He said, the Lord said, it is a light thing that you should be my servant to raise up the tribes of Jacob. That's a light thing. That's the easy part. That was the easy part. Come get your own people. Which apparently wasn't that easy after all. I will also give you for a light to the Gentiles, that you may be my salvation to the end of the earth. That you might be my salvation to the end of the earth. Hallelujah. So God has already made provision for you and me, even though Jesus came to redeem His own people. That was a light thing. What was the bigger project? To save you. The bigger project was to come and save all the nations. To bring Jesus Christ and salvation and to the entire world, as he said to Nicodemus. Amen? How powerful is that? That, you know, we look at Jesus and we see Him coming out of the Jews, not as a priest, not as out of Levi, but out of the tribe of Judah. And He has come for one purpose, to save me. Not just the Jewish people, but everybody. He wants every single person, no matter what you started from, no matter where you began, no matter what part of the world you came from, God was out to find you. Amen? He's out to find me. And He's out to transform me and change me and make me into His image. I'm excited. Because it requires nothing. He requires nothing. He says, believe. He told Abraham, same thing. He's the father of faith. He said, believe me, and I'll make you the father of many nations. Well, then he had one kid. At least one legit kid, you know. He had the other one. You know, that one's a troublemaker. But then he only has one kid. How's the father of many nations? The father, not just one nation, You know, he looks like the father of one nation, you know. Well, okay, you had Isaac, and then Isaac had Jacob and Esau, and Esau was a mess. But he had Jacob, and Jacob, he produced. He's got 12 kids. Okay, we're on the track now. We're on the track to get here now, you know. But Abraham is long gone. But he said, but then again, that's just one group. But he said he's going to make you the father of many nations. And Jesus came in the fullness of time. And he adopted you. You read the book of Romans. He came to adopt you. And in the Roman world, to adopt was to, I mean, that was, you know, just, when you have kids on your own, it's just you're left to chance. Who knows what you might get. But when you can adopt and give everything to the one you intend, that's what God likes. But what kind of a choice does he have? Not much better. I mean, he's just got Walter, or Jose, you know, Amen. Or Pastor Jim, you know. You gotta work with what you got.
Yeah.
Amen. Praise the Lord. So I'm excited about that because I mean, you know, I'm not even 6 foot tall, and God can use me. Amen. Praise the Lord. It's a miracle. Praise the Lord. So this is prophetic of Christ's, of Jesus' calling. He apparently had an obscure ministry. He apparently had an obscure ministry and really didn't do much. Basically, by the time he was just about to get going, he had 12 guys who believed in him, and then they kill him. And that's it. It's all over. But he rose from the dead, so they say. No, he rose from the dead. And empowered them by the Holy Spirit. Now, you say, empowered them by the Holy Spirit. Well, no, the Spirit was still working even beforehand. I mean, look, Simeon came into the temple. What? By the Spirit. The Spirit was working.
Yeah.
Who came upon Mary to create that baby in the womb?
Spirit.
The Spirit came upon her. The Spirit of the Most High shall come upon you. Yet now, by faith, every single one of you can be filled with the living God, the Holy Spirit, to manifest himself to you. Not just one of here and there, but every single one who believes in the Lord Jesus can receive the Holy Spirit, the living God living on the inside of you to change you, transform you, and cause you to have no worries whatsoever. I mean, your brains and your thought life can be kind of a mess sometimes, but you just come into his presence and say, Father, I thank you that you're delivering me, you're changing me, you're transforming me, you love me, and there's nothing that I can do that is going to make you stop loving me or stop giving me peace. No matter whether I'm 15, no matter whether I'm 50, no matter whether I'm 85, doesn't matter. God is going to come and live on the inside of me, change me, transform me, take away all the stupid thoughts, and give me the thoughts of His. Isn't that good news?
Yeah,
praise the Lord. He'll straighten out your brain. Well, I think I need to go to a therapist. No, you need to go to the Word of God. And you need to go into the prayer closet and give thanks and recite His Word and rehearse His Word, His promise to yourself. Amen? I mean, you know, we like to think about, well, I need some folks. I need somebody who can really help me work through this problem. Well, go find a brother or sister in the Lord Jesus. And you join hands with them and pray. You know, I know some of these folks, they liken to think they can help people. But all of a sudden, all you're doing is rehearsing the problem. You're rehearsing the death. Unless somebody is going to come to you with the Word of God and the promise that Jesus Christ has forgiven you and is making you brand new,
yeah, I like that.
You can't get free.
Right.
You'll never be free. Amen?
Amen?
But God is setting you free today. Hallelujah. You know, this is why we celebrate Christmas, and we can do this all over the world. You know, we have this message because Jesus Christ came not for the Jews. He didn't come just for the Christians. He came, in fact, you know, the world likes to think, well, the Christians celebrate Christmas. No, we celebrate Christmas because we love you. We celebrate the coming of the Lord because He came for you. Amen. We celebrate the coming of the Lord the coming of Jesus Christ in the manger, because he came to live a perfect life that you couldn't live. He came to die a perfect death and rise a perfect resurrection so that you could believe in him and be transformed and changed into his image and have all of your sins forgiven and live gloriously. Even though you're in trouble every single day. Anybody in trouble every single day if you look on the outside? Yeah. But you know what? God's already taken care of you. Every single day, every single hour, he's taking care of me. He is the Lord of Lords. He's the King of Kings. He loves me unconditionally. And we give you praise. Father, we give you praise. Last thing. Paul and Barnabas were in Antioch in Pisidia. That's up there in Asia Minor. Look, what's Turkey today if you're looking on your map? If, I don't know, some of you don't even care about geography at all, wouldn't have a clue. But the nation of Turkey, over there east of Greece and north of Israel, they're in this town and they're preaching. And Paul says in Acts 13:47, "For so the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have set thee to be a light to the Gentiles, that thou shouldest be for salvation unto the ends of the earth." And when the Gentiles heard this, because he came and preached first to the Jews there in Antioch. But verse 48 says, "And when the Gentiles heard Paul say this, they were glad, and they glorified the word of the Lord, and as many as were ordained to eternal life believed." Plan of God. For God so loved the world. Some of us don't distinguish between those things, you know, we know the verse and we just rattle it off. But you got to read carefully. Amen? You should read carefully. Slow down. Read every word. Well, that's not the exact words they translated out of the King James. It's close enough. It'll help you. Amen? We want to make all kinds of excuses as to why the Word of God is not quite right. You know, you've got 25 translations or more in the English. King James is a good one. It's by and large, it's a good one. People didn't mess with it too much. You only had one going at the time. Now you got competing versions. We got to have a better one. Hallelujah. God's good, isn't he?
Yes.
Amen. Well, Father, we love you and we praise you and thank you that you've that you ordained Paul and Barnabas. And you're continuing to ordain people today into the work of the ministry. Number one, you ordain every single one of us as we receive the Lord Jesus Christ. But then you gave gifts unto men, some apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. So, Father, today we give you praise and thank you that you've called us as ministers of the gospel, each one of us, to be ambassadors. But we thank you also for the gifts that you give, that we will, in future moments here, in a few minutes, be laying our hands on some additional men of God to fulfill the practice and the work of the gospel in this place. So we give you glory and we give you praise right now. Lord God, I thank you that you've made us ministers to the whole world. And we give you glory and thanks. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord. All right, Pastor Jim, come.
God is good.
Yes, amen.
We already there's something in there.
Jesus returned.
I don't know. I didn't do anything.
Praise the Lord. Amen. Praise the Lord. Dave, I think we need another battery. We'll probably use this one.
In our church. Yeah. And, but we're adding another three. So we'll have nine. And we may actually add more than that. Because one of our ministries is training young men in the Lord, not necessarily age, and causing them, the Bible says, pass on to other faithful men what you have received. So that when I keel over someday, you won't have to worry. And so I don't plan on dying. But it can happen at any time. That's exciting. Because all my affairs are in God's hand anyway. But then you don't have to worry because these are men that you already know. And so Raul Castro from Dallas, come forward. And also Larry Comerford and Paul McLemore. These are the three men that will be ordained into the ministry of the church. And I've known them for a long time. So because of that, in a minute, we're going to lay hands on and anoint them with oil. That's what it says to do. But I want to start out and read a scripture for what is a pastor, what is a bishop, what is an elder. Now, all three words are in the Bible, but they're all the same. So the pastor is your title, your shepherding sheep. In other words, you're ministering to people. Then you have to be 30 years or older. So that's a qualification. And then you also have to be a bishop who oversees the people. And so there's no difference between a pastor, a bishop, a deacon. It doesn't matter. We all have to be trained in the Lord so that we can give the good news out. And David did a marvelous job today, being 6 foot. He did a marvelous job of teaching the gospel, the good news. And it was perfect. Perfect. Because of that, we want to then do everything by Scripture. Everything that we do has to be scriptural. So I want to read this passage in Titus. So if you have a Bible, you can open it to Titus chapter 1. And reading at verse 5. For this cause, Paul said, I left you in Crete, that you should set in order, that's what we're doing today, ordaining is the same as order, the thing that are wanting, and ordain elders in every city, as I had appointed you. So Paul's job was to be an apostle. An apostle is someone that leaves a local church and goes out and starts churches throughout the world, throughout the United States, wherever you go. An apostle then doesn't just start it, but he always goes back to that church, like we go to Uganda and go to various places, India, China, and so on. But because of that, you were sent. Apostle just means you were sent from a local body out to spread this good news to others. And so you start churches that way. And so we have a big church, over 40,000 churches just in Uganda itself. And because of that, you have well over 10 million people. But we do it all over the world, in India, various places. I still go to about 13 countries. And now that I'm 80, I'll probably stop that. Turn it over to somebody else can do it. Because when I was young, it wasn't a problem living on anthills and stuff like that in the boondocks of some country.
Moses just got started.
Yeah, he just got started. So, and so we've gone to Israel many, 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 many times. And I always take groups with me. But by ordaining elders or bishops or pastors, same thing, same person. Those are just different descriptions of who you are. You have the good news because God called you out of this world. And when he called you out of the world, you don't belong to the world anymore. So what's going to happen to the world will never happen to us. All of us Christians who are matured in the Lord are taught. And that's what discipleship is all about. You're actually trained to know the living God. And God calls you, and once he calls you, he doesn't change his mind. Same yesterday, today, forever. So these men who are about to be ordained fit in with the order God set up. This is how you do it. So for this cause, I left you in Crete so that you could set everything in order in every city that I appointed to you. And if any be blameless... So all three of these men are blameless. The husband of one wife, having faithful children, not accused of riot or unruly. For a bishop must be blameless as the steward of God, a servant of God, someone who stewards the good news, the mysteries and the things that are hidden and need to be revealed. Not self-willed. Not soon angry or given to wine. No striker, not given to filthy lucre. In other words, doing it just for money. I don't know why anyone would enter the ministry just for money. Apparently the large churches, they got lots of dough. But anyway, we don't do it for that reason. For a bishop must be blameless as a steward of God, but you can't be self-willed. Nor soon angry, nor given to wine, nor fighting, you know, striker, nor given to filthy lucre, but a lover of hospitality, a lover of good men, sober, just, holy, temperate, holding fast the faithful word as has been taught, that he may be able by sound doctrine both to exhort, that means exhort you to be who you are in Christ. When you exhort someone, they already have it. You're not exhorting them to do something. You're already saying, be exactly what God called you to do. So you're saying, because we're Christians, because we love God, because he first loved us, we want to love other people. We want to love our neighbor as ourselves. And to convince the gainsayers, those that would try to argue with God and win. For there are many unruly and vain talkers in the ministry. And deceivers, especially they of the circumcision, calling the Jewish people the circumcision, whose mouths must be stopped, who subvert whole houses, teaching things which they ought not, for filthy lucre's sake. One of themselves, even a prophet of his own, said, the Cretans are always liars, evil beasts, slow bellies. This witness is true, wherefore rebuke them sharply, that they may be sound in the faith, not given heed to Jewish fables, commandments of men that turn from the truth. Unto the pure, all things are pure, but unto them that are defiled and unbelieving, nothing is pure, for even their mind and conscience is defiled. Last verse. They profess that they know God, but in works they deny him, being abominable and disobedient, and unto every good work reprobate. So there's a lot of false teachings out there. And because of that, if you don't tell the truth and the whole truth and nothing but the truth, then you shouldn't be in the ministry. But all of these three men have been taught by the Lord, not by me, but
by the Lord, as the Lord hath taught us. And we meet together every week, and we go over the scriptures over and over and over again. We just repeat the good news every time, because you can read a scripture and misunderstand it. By reading all the scripture over the years, you learn then the good news, because everything in the Bible has to be good news, even if it says, woe unto you hypocrites and so on. Don't pay attention to that. You're not a hypocrite. A hypocrite is someone that's not who they are. So every one of these men are real. They're powerful because they're just themselves, and they let God do all the work. I may know that a good man does all the work for his wife so she can enjoy all the blessing.
Amen.
Well, that's just a theory. No, you actually have to do it. And all of these men have their families in order. And because of that, they are ready to say, I give up my whole life just for the ministry. I want to do it. Now, none of these men have to go anywhere or do anything. But if you wanted to, you could go off and start your own church. If you wanted to, you could stay here. It doesn't make any difference. Because, or don't use it at all. You just have the training. And so if that's the case, then they're not qualified to do anything except follow the Lord. And so we don't have any control over anyone. And I'm a slave, and I want to be a slave. I like being a slave. So these three men will be slaves from now on. And so it'll help Cynthia, your husband, will be better from now on. Larry, be a better husband. Paul, be a better husband. As Christ loved the church, so every man love his wife. If you just did that one thing alone, just take care of your own family, you'd change the world. David is like that. We all are like that. And because of that, you choose men that are faithful to God so that then you can see how this gospel works. Now, I want to start with this word right here. Here's the word of the Lord. When Jesus saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they were faint and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. So these three men are shepherds, meaning their purpose is to not meet what you want, but to meet what you need. Was that clear?
Yeah.
That's why other churches don't do that. They always want to please the people and give them what they want rather than what they need. You have to speak the truth, the whole truth. And so it's not done in a lot of places, but that's what we do here, is just tell them the truth, and whether they like it or not. So you have to have courage. Trump is asking for that in the government. You have to have courage to do what's right. And a lot of people there are lawless. They don't have the Holy Spirit inside of them. But the Holy Spirit wants us then to serve the body. And you are the ones getting blessed, because this truth will set everybody free. This truth, as just David shared this morning, is powerful. Because they were faint and scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest is truly plenteous. In other words, anywhere you go in the world, you will have people that will hear it and believe it. But the laborers are few. Pray therefore to the Lord of the harvest that he may send forth laborers into his harvest. Matthew 9:36-38. So, another scripture is this one. The word of God is near you, even in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith, which we also preach, that if you shall confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and shall believe in your heart that God raised him up from the dead, then you shall be saved. Very simple. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made to salvation. For scripture says, whoever believes in him shall not be ashamed. because there's no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord is over all men, rich to all who call upon him. And whoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. That's a promise right there. So if you call upon the name of the Lord, even if you know very little, that's all it takes. God will accept you into his family. And as you grow up, as each of these men are, you adopt men only when they've been trained. You don't adopt them because they, you know, are clever or some other human reason, because you can have all kinds of motives that are not right. But you do it because God has trained them. And when you're trained, then you're going to reign with God. When you're trained, you're going to reign with God. No one that's just a child of God, anyone who's born again is a child of God, but you're a child. You're not an adult. But in the Jewish culture and in the Greek culture, you didn't adopt, as David said, he said it earlier, you didn't adopt children because they were your child, because they're already yours. But you adopted people that had been trained, that had been discipled. And when you did that, for example, Julius Caesar, who was then killed in the Forum, he was killed on the way to the Forum because he wanted to be the emperor, but he never called himself an emperor. He was just one that did battles. And he came into Rome, but he intended to make the empire. That's a bad thing, because there's no such thing. If God is God, then you don't need any emperors. You don't need any popes. You don't need anyone. All you need is God. And so God wants you to be self-governing. He wants you to govern yourself, restrain yourself from doing not what you want to do, what you need to do, because it's a necessity from God to be faithful. And so how then shall men call upon him if they've not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom you have not heard? And how shall they hear without a preacher? And how shall they preach unless they be sent? Just as it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things to men. Romans 10. But also, last verse, a solemn word of warning, particularly in these last days before the Lord returns for his bride. Woe be unto you who are pastors that destroy and scatter the sheep, God's pasture, saith the Lord. Therefore, hear the word of the Lord. The God of Israel spoke against the shepherds that were to feed his people. Yet, God says, you have scattered my flock. You have driven them away, and you have not visited them. Behold, I will then visit you and upon you of your evil and unfaithfulness, saith the Lord. So the ministry is something sober. It's something that you don't want to enter if you are not mature. So we only adopt people who are already mature. So these three men are mature, and they will join the other six. So we'll have nine of us that gather together. We also have deacons as well. And a deacon is not, as the Baptists teach, I was talking to Peggy on the way here. They teach that a deacon actually represents the congregation to control the pastor. And so when the deacons meet in their board, they can fire the pastor anytime they want to. It's not in the Bible. I'm not criticizing them, I'm just pointing that out. So we have deacons, but the deacons then assist the pastors, because the pastor should be under God, and you know, the congregation can either leave or whatever. There's a lot of ways to get rid of people. But the point is, you want pastors who know the gospel, that they know the good news and can turn anything into good news, whatever it is. God has never done anything in this Bible except tell you the good news from beginning to end. And since everything in this Bible is a promise, he has to keep the promise. So first of all, he makes a promise, then he raises his right hand and said, this is going to be a solemn promise. And then he said, and I will keep the promise I just made. Three things. So you're forgiven, and then you're cleansed from all unrighteousness, and then you're perfected in love. This, what they call atonement, this is how you make yourself at one with God. Atone. It means at one with God. When you do that, and tell 4, 5, and 6 behind me, when you do that, you've actually caused a person now to be inheriting. And you can't, if you're not trained, if you're just a child, the child is no different than a slave. A child then needs to be not only trained, but he also needs to have this training so that he controls himself. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and then meekness and self-control. Those 9 fruits of the Spirit is what I see in these 3 men. And so that's what you want, is you want people that no matter what you do in life, it's good to go into the ministry and to become a shepherd before you're a king. You see, Jesus was a shepherd long before he was a king. I am the good shepherd and so on. But he also became King of Kings and Lord of Lords. So, and King David also took care of the sheep before he became a king. And so what we need today is a different understanding of what's going on in the world today. Now, whether you know it or not, people are planning to destroy your way of life. I don't know what you know. But they're trying to make America not America. And already the Supreme Court is not supreme. Nor is it going to be faithful to give the truth. Because they are afraid, because they know the other team on the other side, who are antichrists, they hate Christians. They also hate Jews. They also hate all religion. They also hate God. But it's all right. How many know that God has always done that in the history of the world? In the history of the world, he put the tree right in the middle of the garden and said, don't eat of it. So that they, of course, they went and ate of it. How many know that what God says not to do, you will do? If you were under a law and he says, don't do it, that's the first place you're going to go. And go ahead and do it. That's what childhood is all about. But these men are trained and they know, don't do what you want to do, do what you need to do, because God wants to do everything for you and you didn't do it anyway. When God loves you and loves everybody through you, men will glorify God. So, all right, so we need the oil. Do we have some oil? Where's the oil? There you go. All right. So, as many as you want to come forward and lay hands on these 3 men, so if you just line up right here, there's 3 of you. Right here. We're going to lay hands on you. As many as you would like to come and pray for them. Anyone here? Anyone? So the congregation, you are the congregation that these are your ministers. And, go ahead. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Anyone else who wants to come, you're welcome to come. So I'm going to ask some questions as you're being anointed. These then are the chosen men out of the congregation of the faithful to whom the ministry of the gospel should be committed. We therefore present these brethren for ordination into holy ministry. Dearly beloved, according to the authority of the Holy Scriptures, you are now to be set aside for the ministry of the Word, the administration of the sacraments, baptism, Lord's Supper, the perfecting of the saints by the laying of hands and the anointing of oil and the prayers of the saints. So I want you to then repeat this word after me. Let's see. It is then a solemn office you enter this day, for which you shall render a full and accurate account before the Lord in the day of his appearing. Are you now ready to take upon you this holy calling as a faithful minister of the gospel, as a servant of the Lord for the glory of his name? And I want you to answer yes by the mercy and power of God.
Yes, by the mercy and power of God.
Will you preach the word in accordance with the Holy Scripture as set forth in the New Testament gospel of faith, teaching the true righteousness of God? Yes, by the mercy and power of God.
Yes, by the mercy and power of God.
Will you administer the holy sacraments after the ordinance of Christ? Yes, by the mercy and power of God.
Yes, by the mercy and power of God.
Will you make disciples of those who believe, teaching them fully until every man is perfected in Christ, filled daily with the Holy Spirit, growing in the knowledge of him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, until every believer may attain the promise of eternal life? Yes, by the mercy and power of God.
Yes, by the mercy and power of God.
The Lord now bestow upon you the Holy Spirit for the office and work of a minister of the gospel in his holy church. And David's going to anoint you with oil. Now committed unto you by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, our Savior, our Lord, our Bridegroom, our Savior, our Lord, our Bridegroom. Through the imposition of these many hands, in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Thank you, Lord.
Hallelujah. Amen. Everyone, if you can, touch one of these men if you're close to them. Lord, we just thank you for these men of God who are devoted not only personally in their personal prayers every day, privately, but also for whoever they meet on the street, at work, in the grocery store. Someone might say something, and you can tell, you look sick, could I pray for you? Or you just witness to them the hope that's in you. And so all of us are evangelists, whether we know it or not. And to share this good news with everyone you meet, because it's good for us to gather together for worship, and it's good for us to love the neighbor. And one of the ways you do it is so that they might be converted to the Lord Jesus Christ. Whatever their religion is, whatever their lack of religion is, it doesn't matter. Everybody, someday every knee will bow and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And all the other religions and all the other ideologies, all the other philosophies on earth will be gone forever. And Jesus now is going to destroy that beast that is in everybody so that we may have a quiet and peaceable life on the earth as it is in heaven.
Amen.
Thank you, Lord Jesus.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Amen. Who'd like to prophesy? Anyone here just like to say a word over these three men of God? Anyone? Anyone else? Anyone
the
else?
Lord himself has called you by his Spirit to fulfill that which he's put on the inside of you, that gift which is put on the inside of you by the laying on of hands. And the Scripture tells you to stir up that gift, which was put upon you by the laying on of hands. So enter into the presence of the Lord daily. Enter into the presence of the Lord and stir up that gift by worship, by prayer, by reading the Scriptures, and by fulfilling what the Lord has spoken to you to do. Not to refrain, not to withhold, but to, in fact, give the gift that you've been given to the people of God.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you.
bless you.
Thank you.
God bless you, Larry.
Lord bless you.
God bless you, Paul.
God bless you, worship, brother.
Amen. All right, I think we have two singers. Go ahead.
Oops, praise the Lord. Amen. More things. Everything happens on Christmas. Praise the Lord. Amen. Okay, praise the Lord. Well, soon. Maya.
Happy
birthday. Did you have a birthday lately? Huh? It's the 12th. Well, that wasn't too long ago. I think we missed you that day. So we're going to bless you today.
Right.
Amen. Anybody else have any birthdays? Do we have any birthdays anymore today? Praise the Lord. We just go from one thing to the next around here, don't we? Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Lord.
Yeah,
amen.
I'm way off from you.
Praise the Lord.
All right, what now? Sorry.
Happy birthday, Maya.
Maya, right?
Yeah.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Maya. Happy birthday to you. We're glad God made you. We're glad God made you. We're glad God made Maya. We're glad God made you.
Hallelujah. It's really good to be born at Christmas. Amen. You know, some people are born on Christmas and they grumble because they don't get their due. Amen. God is good. Amen. All right, if we're going to have a ministry and song here momentarily, if you have an offering or gift this morning, these days we're not passing the plate. We're just asking you to put it in the box at the back. And they're on your way out the door there. Or you can go online at emmanueltx.com. There's a link there you can find to give online there. So praise the Lord. I'm going to invite... looks like our group is growing. Amen. Teresa and Zoe.
Satan's tyranny, from depths of hell thy people save, and give them victory o'er the grave. Rejoice, rejoice, Emmanuel shall come to thee, O Israel. O come, Emmanuel.
Hallelujah. And I'm going to make another couple of brief announcements here that... we will be having, the Bible study on Tuesday and the prayer group on Wednesday will not meet this week. We will have a Christmas Eve service Thursday, the 24th at 7 p.m. and also again at 10 p.m., all right? Pastor Jim will be teaching at both of those services. So that'll be, again, Thursday night at 7 p.m. and at 10 p.m. So both services are available in person. Okay, they will not be broadcast as far as I know. So those are in-person services this Thursday night. All right? Praise the Lord. So you want to make sure and make a note of that. And also just a couple of things that may or may not have, or you may not be aware of. The P.O. box for the church has, or the mailing address for the church, changed a couple of months ago. It's in the, it's on the website, it's in the bulletin, but it has changed to, it used to be a mailbox with the street address. Now it's just a regular P.O. box. So it's P.O. box 8613. All right? And P.O. box 8613, Fort Worth, Texas 76124. Okay, so if you need that, it's in the bulletin. And, of course, some of you do your giving that way. So I just want you to make sure that, so, because the other box is, it was an actual business location. So that box is not being forwarded. It doesn't go anywhere. So the new P.O. box is what you need to use, all right? All right, praise the Lord. Let's all stand together. And, of course, just to reiterate, as always, the messages are available on the website at emmanueltx.com. Listen online. It's a ministry tool you can use if people want to find out about what in the world you're talking about or what in the world you're teaching or what you believe. And what we teach here is there are messages. Clay, I think you've got, I don't know how many, are, how far back they go now. Okay, we have messages from the, is there a gap somewhere in there, or is it all of them? Okay.
There's a gap. Okay. Right now we're through 82. We're in the 80s. We're up to 82. We're working on 83 right now.
Okay.
Probably have that up in the next month.
And I think the other ones on there are from 2005 and forward. So you can spend the rest of your life listening to Pastor Jim and Pastor Dave and several of the other guys. So one interesting caveat about that is that if you listen to Pastor Jim in the 80s, his voice is higher, but the message is the same. but it's still him, so believe it or not. And so that's available. Of course, the messages are also available probably from 2018 forward on the Facebook page. We've been broadcasting those. So those are all ministry opportunities that you can use as tools to share the message. It's not up to you, it's up to God. Amen? Yeah. All right. Now may the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make His face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. And may He lift up His happy, shining, joyous countenance upon you and give you His peace. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Pastor Jim, are you preaching tonight?
Yes.
Okay, so this way, so that'll be the last message, until Thursday night. We'll be tonight at 6 o'clock, so come and join us tonight. Have a blessed day.